Hey family, wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. We miss you. We can't wait till we get to see each other again, whenever that day comes. We're going to be celebrating our Christmas service this Sunday. I know it's a little bit early, but we wanted to do it before people get busy with the holidays. The title of this message is Good News of Great Joy. Good News of Great Joy. It's taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And this is what the angel told the shepherds when he's revealing that Christ was to be born. He says this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you right now, Lord, and through this whole crazy year, God, you've been with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Even through the tough times, God, even when we struggle to trust you, we struggle to make sense of what's going on in the world. We know that you're faithful. We know that you're good. And so I just pray, God, that you would reveal your heart to us this morning. Many of us know the story of the birth of Christ. I pray that you would allow us to see it with new eyes, to appreciate all that you've done for us, God. That we would rejoice in the God of our salvation. Bless our time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as many of you know, this year has been marked by what seems to be an overabundance of bad news. I think since around March, it's been pretty heavy duty for us. And I think when we're continually being hit with bad news, we have this tendency to just fixate on all that's wrong in the world and in our lives. I know this is the case for me. If I'm not careful, I can become consumed by what's happening in the world. And maybe some of you have felt that in this season. You're like, I'm just trying to make it through. I'm just trying to survive the year. It's been tough, but I'm just trying to make it to 2021. We know that there's a joy that's available to us as believers, but many times it's difficult to experience that joy. There's kind of a disconnect between what we know about this joy and our experience of this joy. And so what we want to do today is to take a moment to slow down and get some perspective on what Christmas is all about. Because for most of you, this Christmas is a lot different than previous Christmases. Many of the things that tend to mark this season have been removed, right? Travel, time with family, laughter. Many of these things have been changed at this time. There's more of a solemn tone with all that's happening around us. We see the deaths from COVID increasing. We see people getting sick, people filling up hospitals, and it's difficult to kind of celebrate what the season is all about. As we look at what's going on in the world, it causes our hearts to ache. Death is all around. Sin is rampant in our society. You just read the news headlines. There's enough there to put you in a rough mood. We start feeling it. We start absorbing that kind of news. It almost seems as though the darkness is winning. And what I want us to understand this morning is that the days that we're living in today are much like the days in which Christ was born. They're both marked and characterized by darkness. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says regarding the climate into which the Son of God would come. It says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." This verse is quoted later in Matthew 4 as Jesus fulfilling this prophecy as he begins his earthly ministry. Jesus fulfills this, but Jesus comes to people who are walking in darkness. He comes to people who are living in a land of deep darkness. Times were dark then, and times are dark now. But here's the good news of the gospel. the light shines brightest in the darkness. I love going places where it's kind of like nature-esque. It's, you know, Idaho is a really cool place I like to go, where the skies are clear, nighttime, you see a bunch of stars. When it's dark, those stars just pop, right? The darker it is, the more the light shines. Jesus is the light of the world who brings life and light to all who would call upon him. This is available to us as people in this world. We are the ones who Christ came for, right? We have to acknowledge, hey, we have to admit that we love darkness, right? There are areas in our hearts that are dark. There are areas in our lives where we're holding on to sinful patterns and sinful tendencies. And instead of putting those things to death, we flirt with them, we entertain them, and we walk in them. We must admit that we all have gone our own way. We must admit that we love darkness rather than light. In order to appreciate the light, in order to receive the light of the world, Jesus, we must acknowledge our need. Think about this. It's very hard for someone to receive help who won't admit that they're sick. Someone who is sick and everyone around them sees it, but they themselves don't see it, it's going to be very hard to get that person the help they need until they realize that they're truly sick. It's very hard for someone who has a glaring problem that everyone else sees. It's very hard for them to see it for themselves when they're blind to it. They refuse to acknowledge that they have a problem. We must see our need for the Savior in order to receive the Savior. Like the good news of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, all that doesn't mean much if we don't understand our need. When Jesus came, you remember the Christmas story. There was no room for him in the inn. Jesus, the one who created the whole world, entered his world and there was no room for him. How crazy is that? I think the question for us is there room in your heart for Jesus this morning? Whether you are a believer in Christ or not yet a believer, is there room in your heart for Jesus? What are the things that you've been allowing in your heart to crowd out that space? What are the things that are on the throne of your heart that Jesus alone wants to occupy? May we follow the words of the song that says, "Let every heart prepare him room." What the birth of Jesus tells us is that God is with us in our darkest of days. Now, before Jesus comes on the scene, there was 400 years of silence. The silent years, 400 years. What does that mean? It means that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 400 years where God was giving no new revelation to his people. It's like God was silent for that long. It's almost like it's building up toward when God would finally speak again. And what does God say? "Hey, this is my beloved son. Hear him." He would say, "Hey, Jesus is coming on the scene, and Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. He's our ever-present help in time of need." So the more need you have, the more opportunity you have to experience his presence. God is not only with us when things are going well, right? Like 2019, maybe for most of you, but also the 2020s. God is with us this year, just like he was last year, even when the circumstances are tough. Even when things seem to be going wrong, God is on his throne. And the truth of Christmas is that God left his throne to enter our broken world to deal with our greatest problem, sin. God does not abandon us in our darkest of days. He is not distant, but he is near. He will not forsake us in our darkest of days because Christ himself would be born and would be forsaken for us on the cross so that now we could be accepted through his finished work on our behalf. The birth of Jesus tells us that there's good news of great joy available to all regardless of one's circumstances. Look back at our verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There is good news this morning for you. There is great joy available to you, regardless of how your year's been, regardless of how your week's been, regardless of how the future will be. There is good news of great joy available through Christ this morning. And that's the best news that we can ever have. He tells these shepherds, "Do not fear. Fear not. I'm bringing you something. I'm bringing you good news. It's not coming from inside the world. It's actually coming from outside our world. Yes, Jesus would be born in a manger, but this is the eternal Son of God saying, I'm going to humble myself and become a baby. I'm going to become one of you. I'm going to identify with you. I'm going to be born in the most humble fashion. I'm going to be born in a manger." This is amazing love, that God would choose to do this for us. We are all undeserving of this. This is all by grace. This is all the ultimate gift that we can receive this Christmas, is the gift of God's Son. I love what J.I. Packer has to say about Christmas. He says, "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory. Because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross." I love what he says there. He just boils it down, says, hey, this is what the Christmas message is all about. Jesus became poor. Jesus did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He saved us, those who were lost in darkness and sin. Jesus came and said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to bring freedom to the captives. And ultimately, as the song says, Jesus was born to give us second birth. So many of these Christmas songs have so much good theology in them. Right? That "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." And it goes on to say that Jesus was born to give them second birth. Through the birth of Jesus, he makes it possible for us to experience second birth. This is what he talked about in John chapter 3, where he talked to a very religious man, Nicodemus, and he was a leader in Israel. He understood religion, and yet he was missing something very important. And Jesus told him, unless one is born again, they will not see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You need to experience a new birth. You cannot fix yourselves. The answer to change and to salvation is not in you reforming yourself. It's in you recognizing that you fall short of the glory of God, that there's nothing that you can do to work yourself into God's good graces. For that, you'll need a substitute. You'll need someone to step in and pay that price and give you that right standing with God. And this is what Jesus came to do. He came to make it possible for us to experience this new life with God. As we look to him and the purpose for why he came, he was born to die. That's the truth of the matter. He wasn't just born to be a baby or born to be a good example. He was born to die, to pay the price for our sin, to absorb the wrath of God for us, so that that wrath might be lifted off of us and we might experience favor from God. And that we might have confidence to know that when we breathe our last breath, this is not the end, but this is just the beginning. We're opening up that door into eternity, into the fullness of joy of life with God. And this is the great news of the gospel that the angel was talking about, this good news of great joy that's available to all. It's available to all, but not all will receive it. What happens when someone gives you a gift? you must receive it. If you choose to reject it, that's your choice. But that's the important thing for us to know, is that God has given us a choice in the gospel, that God does not force himself on us. He invites us to receive his gift of salvation. And this is something that we don't want to take for granted. We really want to come to this understanding that Christ loves us, that Christ wants to have this relationship with us. This is an open invitation to all who would come. Whoever would come to Jesus, he will in no wise cast out. He will always receive you. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "A son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." That's so good. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. This is why he was born, that we might experience the new birth. And this is the invitation that's being extended to each one of us this morning. There are some of you who maybe haven't received this gift from Christ. Maybe you're like, you know what? I don't know where I would go when I die. I don't know if I have this grace or if I've really received this gift of Jesus this morning, this gift of salvation. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do you receive it? You ask God for it. God, I want to receive your gift. Give me the gift of salvation. I repent of my sins. I call out to you, and I receive this by sheer grace. For those of you who know Christ, those of you who have experienced the second birth, I think the question for us is, have we made room in our hearts for Christ? You might say, yes, I know I believe in Christ, but are you enjoying Christ in this season? Are you experiencing the joy that's available to you in Christ? Or are you putting your joy in your circumstances, in your situations? This is a time where we choose to turn our eyes upon Jesus and we say, Lord, we confess we've been looking for joy and fulfillment and satisfaction and so many other things, but we want to turn our eyes to you. We want to realign our hope in our joy, that they would be found in you. When you read through the Psalms, we see this echoed continually throughout the Psalms. The psalmist is going through something difficult and hard, but then he says, you know what? But I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm going to choose not to have my joy based in my circumstances. I'm going to put my joy in God, who alone is worthy. And this hint of joy that we experience in this world is just a foretaste of what's to come for those who are in Christ. If you're in Christ today, these days that you're living on earth, these are going to be your worst days. This is as worse as it's going to get for the people of God, because what's coming when Jesus comes back is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. This is what we have to look forward to. If you don't know Christ, your best days are in this earth. And what God is wanting to do is say, hey, this earth cannot satisfy. This earth can never deliver what it promises. It can't give you the happiness that you so long to have. That will only be found in a relationship with your Creator. And so I pray that we would open up our hearts and let the King of Glory come in. May we find our joy in Jesus this Christmas. May we have Christ at the center in our celebration. And as we experience loss, you know, as we lost a lot this year, just gone through some tough things, I pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, who is above over all the storms of life, that we would know that we're in his hands, that we're under his care, we're in his mercy. Father, we give you our lives, Father. We just pray that you would allow us to cherish you, the gift of your Son, God, that you gave your Son, whom you love, to the world whom you love. And you did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And you've given us all the opportunity to receive this gift. I pray that you would help us to lay down our pride, the self-righteous spirit that we have oftentimes, this idea that we can somehow be good people and work ourselves into your good graces, that you would deliver us from that way of thinking, and that we'd humble ourselves, that we would admit that we fall short of the glory of God, and that we receive the gift of your Son. So have your way in us, God. Bless us, bless my brothers and sisters in this season. Help those who are struggling, who are discouraged, who are depressed. I pray that you would shine upon them and give them your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.